This morning we saw about "Save me, O God." Brother David declared these words, and he felt them. It was from his heart and the thing that he was experiencing. Yet in many of these things we see that it's also the case of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we sang the song, and as we consider the first part of it, I told you there were five persons that we need to consider in regards to this psalm. And in the first verses, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God." Our desire is that those that are not saved and have not seen their condition, that they would see their condition, that this is you, that you are dead in trespasses and sins. You have no hope. You are alone from the standpoint of anyone else to share in the burden and the condemnation of your sin. That the Lord would open your eyes to see that it is a quagmire and a mire from which you cannot be rescued by anyone but the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's another point and another piece of this, is that the sinner would see themselves and would cry out unto the Lord in these drowning waters of sin, this deep mire of sin. You have no place to stand. You cannot gain any ground to come out of it. It will swallow you up without Christ. And so it's interesting how the Word of God works that way. We see about the reproach of Christ that he bore in these next verses. Those that hate him were more than the hairs of his head. Those that wanted that they would destroy him and their his enemies wrongfully. And that is David's thinking. That is our Lord Jesus Christ's case. Verse number 5, it applies only to David. "Thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee." It's also the case of the sinner whose eyes are being opened, isn't it? "Lord, you know the desperateness of my soul and my need." And then we pray that you will come to see that. And we see here, "Let not them that wait on thee," verse number 6, "O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake." We pray that you wouldn't look on Christ as an unfit, unable, a good man that came and did good things but then died and that was over. But you would see and come to understand that what he did was necessary to be done so that sinners could have their sins paid for. A substitutionary work, not a guilty man for guilty men, but an innocent lamb given for guilty sinners. And then, "Let not them that wait on thee be ashamed for my sake. Let not them that seek thee be confounded for my sake." They wouldn't misunderstood about Christ. There are many that do. They believe and think that he's not worthy to be trusted. He's not worthy and able, not capable to be able to deliver anyone. But he is. We're going to see that. "Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, the disgrace and the shame of sin. Shame hath covered my face." And may we be encouraged by our Lord, as it tells us there in Hebrews, and what he has done for us. He was faithful to the Father and to us, and may we be faithful to our Lord and not despair. "I'm become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children." Followers of Christ, they experience that, don't they? Yeah, they do. Some have experienced that here in the crowd this afternoon. And certainly Christ did for our sakes. Brother David experienced that. "For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." The zeal for the house of the Lord. You know, I'm glad you're here this afternoon. Not to hear me, but to worship the Lord. And to hear the Word of God, I trust, from him. And not from Jim Duke, but from the Lord. That there would be a zeal there. Brother David had that zeal. The Lord Jesus, he had that zeal, didn't he? Because the house of God, the place where God's Word is preached and taught, the Lord's church in our day, the place where the oracle of God is at hand, there we need to have indeed great zeal regarding that. And the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. The shame that Israel had caused unto the Lord, the shame we know retrospectively as his children. My sin caused shame unto my Creator and my Maker. It would have consumed me. It would have killed me forever. But the Lord Jesus, he bore it that I might be rescued. I made sackcloth also my garment. I became a proverb unto them. We saw how they took the words of the Lord Jesus. They'll take the words of the Lord Jesus and throw them in our face too as his children. They that sit in the gate speak against me. Even the leadership was against him. I was the song of the drunkards. Indeed, the Father made the Lord Jesus sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Remember how we've been studying on Wednesday evenings about the pursuing of the false gods of Israel and of Judah, and the warning that the Lord sends forth. I like the way that Brother Stephen brought that out this morning about the indictment. It's in the minority, the statement of the prophets and to this disobedient nation. There is much that is negative about it because the sins of the people and the sins of the nation, men are sins, is negative, and we need to see that. That's how the only way that sinners can be brought to repentance is to understand our transgression and our great sin against God. He bore it, as the song goes, he suffered it all because he loved me. And we pray if you're here and you're not saved that you will see that Christ went through these things because it's the only way that a sinner could be rescued, the only way a nation could be rescued. Then Brother David, he turns from his complaint to the Lord. And we do well to bring out a particular complaint unto the Lord. We don't need to be like those that are indicated in the scriptures where we ever charge God foolishly. We never need to charge God foolishly. But in our complaint, in our burden, in the things that hurt us, and the things that alarm us, and the things that weary us and bring us down, Brother David was very open with the Lord. Very, very open with him. We need to be open with the Lord, never accusing the Lord by any means. And so from this complaint that he's given, we see a transition in verse number 13 that I've entitled, "You Are My Hope and Help." After David makes his complaint, and even in the course of giving out the things that he fears and the things that hurt him, the things that trouble him, the desperateness of his situation, he's brought to declare that the Lord is the only one that can help him and deliver him. Sinner, the Lord is the only one that can help and deliver you. Child of God, the Lord is the only one that can help and deliver us. He saved us eternally, but we still have this life to live. And we need his help, don't we? We need it greatly. But as for me, he declares in verse 13, my prayer is unto thee, not the false gods of the Canaanites, not even to his fellow man. When the Lord Jesus came and became a man, who did he pray unto? He prayed unto the Father, didn't he? And so we see David, we see the Lord Jesus, we see the Father there. We see the sinner and those we pray that know that they need redemption, or those we that have been redeemed. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. When is the acceptable time to pray to the Lord? Just the service time, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Wednesday? Any time is the acceptable time. Any time is the time to go to the Lord. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me. Hear me, Lord, in the truth of thy salvation. Hear me. You're the Savior. You are true. You are merciful. You have a multitude of mercy. My prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. In the, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire. There was no bottom to the mire, was there? There was no place to get a foothold from which to work. The mire was endless. You know, Brother David, he makes this declaration. The Lord Jesus, who did he pray to? We understand, and to the Father. I remember about that in the scripture where it tells us that the Lord was in the garden there, and he prayed unto the Lord. As it tells us in Hebrews, he prayed unto him that was able to deliver him from death and was heard and that he feared. That's what the scripture says, showing the humanity of the Lord. No compromise in the Lord, but showing his humanity. And what was it that we're told about in the Gospels? That an angel came there and strengthened him. Now, I didn't put that in there. The Lord put that in there. And we have that example. And if our Lord needed strengthening, what about you and me? We pray, our desire here as the Lord's people in His church and those that are here and saved would be that you that are not saved, that you would see that unto the Lord is the only one you can make a petition for your soul. That you need help. That you need to call out unto Him for help. You are in a mire with no bottom. And you are on a destination with no future whatsoever. An eternal damnation and separation from God and torment forever for your sins. Deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters, those waters that he said was coming in upon his soul. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. That pit often speaks of the grave. Deliver me, Lord. Oh, you've got a multitude of mercy. The truth of thy salvation can rescue me. Lord, you're the one to whom I petition. You're the one that I ask for help. Let us not stumble over that word pray. The brother David, as he writes this, is asking the Lord for the help that he needs. He's begging him for the help that he needs. The Lord Jesus prayed unto the Father. He beseeched the Father for the help that he needed. And we pray that sinners will be their eyes open and their understanding, their hearts open, their ears open to see that the Lord is the only one that can help you. Verse 16, hear me, O Lord. Hear me, for thy loving kindness is good. He's a good God, isn't he? Oh, he's holy and he's just and he's got to deal with sin. But he is a good God, a merciful God. God, one full of long-suffering, one full of mercy and kindness. He has come and told us of our case. Not we researched it out and found out about it. As a brother brought out this morning, and once again it's evidence, God called men to write his word unto us. That we might have it. That we would know the truth. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Rescue me and hide not thy face from thy servant. For I am in trouble. Help, hear me speedily. Help, Lord. Hear me. Hear my plea. Hear my petition of you. Help me in what I ask. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Buy me back. Save me. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Indeed, it is before the sinner stands before God as an enemy of the Lord, in need of salvation and forgiveness and a payment for their sins. But understand, the enemy of mankind has been Satan. He murdered us in Adam. The enemy of mankind is sin and disobedience against God. And sin, the payday of sin, is death physical and eternal. The enemy of the sinner are those things that are killing them and bringing them ultimately to eternal death. Death, deliver me because of my enemies. Thou hast known my reproach, again, this disgrace and this shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. You know all that's against me. That's David, the Lord. The Lord's made a promise to our Lord Jesus Christ that in being obedient to the calling of the Father and all that he's done in purchasing and accomplishing and winning our salvation, that all of his enemies will be made his footstool. And it's in the works now. And it will be accomplished. Our adversaries as sinners before the Lord. Our adversaries as the children of God. They're known by the Lord. And we need to take our case unto the Lord always. Reproach, verse 20, hath broken my heart. Our Lord was broken, wasn't he? His body broken because of sin. The shame and disgrace, as we read in Hebrews, that he despised but was willing to go through and carry and endure. I mean, it was written about to him, he came into his own and his own received him not. The whole nation that was his. And they rejected him. The one that had delivered them from Egypt. The one that had been so gracious unto them at the beginning and merciful to them in their sin and their transgression. Generation after generation after generation. As John declares, he's the creator and he came into the creation, and the creation, mankind, rejected him. He came into his own family and they rejected him, and that of Israel. Reproach, the shame of all that, hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. All by himself he suffered. The disciples were far off. His mother and some of the disciples ended up coming near as he hung on the cross. But no one made a move to deliver him or to help him. And we know that's by the design of God. But yet we know that it was their failure too. He suffered alone. He bore it alone. And that needed to be because how terrible the sin and iniquity of his people is. Or was. We can say it that way now, can't we? Was. We know we sin against him yet, and we go to him for forgiveness. And in regards to eternity, where our sins are covered under the blood of the Lamb, we never need to be presumptuous against the Lord as his children to sin against him. But indeed, full of heaviness, he said, my soul is sorrowful even unto death, there in the garden. None to take pity. None to be a comforter. They gave me also gall for my meat. We saw that about the thirst earlier in the passage. And here they gave him this a drink to try to that had painkiller in it. And he refused it, that he might fully bear the pain and agony and suffering there from crucifixion, the weight of sin upon him, which was the greatest load upon our Lord. And in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. That's what they did. That old sorry wine that the Jews would make and let go ahead and get kicked off on that second fermentation. They had that out there and they gave that to the Lord. That was the kindness that they showed unto him. It wasn't any kindness at all, was it? See, Brother David declares You are my hope and my help. My prayer, verse number 13, is unto thee, O Lord. I like this in Psalm 18, verse number 6. Brother David writes, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. You remember the promise that was declared to be revealed and to be manifested, that Brother Joel prophesied there with the church, the Lord's church, the first church left there to Jerusalem after the Lord's ascension. Brother Peter preached it and said, this is true. This is a fulfilling of what Brother Joel prophesied. In Acts 2:21, it declares, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so we pray that if you're here and you're not saved, that you would call upon the name of the Lord. That you and your distress, that you would see that you are in distress, you are in jeopardy because of your sin. And that you would call upon the one, only one that there is in heaven and earth and all that there is that exists, the only one that can help you, and that is the Lord Jesus. And then we see this. Brother David was a fighting man, wasn't he? He was a man of war. The Lord told him as much. He was a bloody man, and therefore he couldn't build the temple, even though his desire to do so was great. The Lord said, no, your son in peace will build the temple, but you'll be able to design, you'll be able to collect, you'll be able to have a part in it, and David greatly did. And so from David's context, here's his appeal unto the Lord, and we have understanding about David's context. We need to understand that. But we from that can receive application to us regarding our enemies too. He says, and what they did to me, and what they did to me, their lack of compassion, no comforter, no pity, giving me that which just made my case even worse. Verse 22, let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation, Lord, upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. The Lord, Brother David is speaking about his enemies, isn't he? And understand, Brother David goes to the Lord for the vengeance he believes sees needs to be meted out. And that's the way it is with us, the children of the Lord, is vengeance is the Lord's. He will repay. We are not the ones to pursue the vengeance of judgment. That's not our place. It's the Lord's place. And so it is with the Lord Jesus Christ, as I mentioned earlier, that the promise of the Father unto the Lord Jesus Christ that is that all of his enemies will be made his footstool. And there is an element of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes with the sword of his mouth, he will fight against the enemies of the Lord in that day, and he will execute justice and judgment and vengeance in the right way. Listen to this. The Lord Jesus, God Almighty in the Lord Jesus, is the only one that can execute vengeance in the fruit of the Spirit. It's not given to us. And so, Brother David, even though he is a fighting man, even though he sought vengeance and judgment, even as a king upon the enemies of the Lord, his declaration is unto the Lord, Lord, you take care of the enemy. And then the Lord Jesus Christ tells us in our day, in these New Testament times, that what we are to do is to pray for our enemies, to do good to our enemies, to love our neighbor as ourself, leaving the details of judgment and vengeance. We are to warn all men and leave the Lord and the enemies of God and our enemies to leave that with Him. He will take care of it in a righteous, honoring, glorifying way to Him. To you that are here and not saved, if you go on in life and you leave this life unrepentant and unbelieving, you will do so as an enemy of God. Bow the knee. Repent before the Lord and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand that what the Lord tells about your sin and about the need of your soul is true. And you cannot wish it away. You cannot turn another way that will have success eternally, but you need the Lord. And then we see here, as it is, this psalm, as it goes and it progresses, he's in despair, he needs help, and he makes his plea. His prayer is unto the Lord for help and deliverance. He says, Lord, you take care of the enemies. You take care of those that have done wrong. And listen again in regards to that of the Lord's enemies. Remember what Jesus did as they nailed him to that tree and put him up between heaven and earth. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. May the Lord help us that we would take the spirit of getting back and getting even and put that away from us as the children of God. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. You hurt me, I'm going to dig you. May God help us to put that away. It's not Christ-like. We need to have no party to it. Oh, it's very natural for us. But it's not spiritual. And it's not of the Lord. Leave it with Him. And then he says, I will praise the Lord. Verse 29, but I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I have no strength. I have no wherewithal. But Lord, you can set me where you want me to set. I will praise the name of God with a song. And will magnify Him with thanksgiving. You know, I'm glad we're a church that likes to sing. And we need to sing. We need to show that joy and that glorification of the Lord. And I think about the songs that we sing. The songs that we sing tell about, in principle, things that the Word of God says about who God is. Where we came from. Where He rescued us from. About the Savior. About His promises. About thanksgiving to Him for the way that He's worked. And I tell you what, there's singing in glory, and we're going to be there with the Lord, and we will be singing, and we need to sing now and praise His name with the song and magnify Him with thanksgiving. I tell you what, brethren, as we pray, may we continue and do so even more to be thankful to our Lord for His working and His blessing unto us and among us. In areas of supplication where we pray for others. And the Lord is merciful and He works and He saves and He delivers and He heals and He helps. Where He comforts and all the things that we ask Him for. When He does, may we thank Him and glorify Him. May we thank Him maybe even for the answer that we don't even see. But knowing that He is faithful and He will work that which glorifies Him and will be a blessing to His people. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. Yeah, that's a great statement there. We don't have to go buy a heifer or a steer or a cow or anything, raise them up, make sure they're blemishless. We are called in this day to bring up a sweet-smelling savor unto our Lord from our mouth that comes from the heart. And he hears that. David desired it. The children of God desire it. The Lord Jesus Christ desires it and did so in his ministry and his time here on earth, didn't he? And again, we pray that you that are here and not saved, that you would see that and understand that and know that you've been created to glorify God, and you can only do so through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've seen these five different persons to consider. We've seen Brother David. We've seen Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen the Father to whom the prayers are made. Those that know that they are in need of redemption or have been redeemed. And we've seen this about the wicked, the vengeance of the Lord being meted out upon them. In verse number 32, we see here a witness. For the humble shall see this. Those that are contrite before the Lord, understand the way of the Lord, have now understood the need of their soul and that Christ is their deliverer, to walk humbly with our God. That's what we've been given to do. And we only can do that through Christ. The humble shall see this and be glad. What do you think? You know, it starts off rough and he's burdened, and we feel that. We hear that from him. But then he gives the things that he does, and then he tells about this praising. And I tell you what, that mourning is brought to joy, isn't it? That despair and that pain and that hurt is brought to gladness. You know, Jesus is glad to receive his children. What does it tell us in the book of Acts that when Brother Stephen was being stoned for the Lord Jesus case, that Brother Stephen said, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. Think of that promise that he's given to us in the administration of the Lord's Supper. I'll not drink of this cup and until I drink it with you new in my Father's kingdom. The humble shall see this and be glad. Your heart shall live that seek God. Oh, seek the Lord. And may we be a witness of these good things in our Lord, Savior, God, and King. His faithfulness is declared here at the end. Verse 33, for the Lord heareth the poor. He does. He hears. We declare that. We've experienced that, and we can tell it that it is so. He heareth the poor. He despiseth not his prisoners. That's an interesting phrase in the latter part of that sentence, isn't it? He heareth the poor, comma, and despiseth not his prisoners. The Lord came to call sinners to repentance. And he didn't despise the harlot or the publican. He doesn't despise those that are poor in spirit. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. Is that right? Let's go take a look at that. I don't want to misquote that. Over here in Matthew chapter 5. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall rejoice. Your heart shall live that seek God, for the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Prisoners of being poor? Or is the Lord saying, you know, Paul says, I look to apprehend that for which I'm apprehended of Christ. The Lord loves his children. He led captivity captive. We spoke about that here in recent times. We were captive to sin. I tell you what, I'm glad to be the Lord's prisoner, aren't you? I'm glad to be the Lord's prisoner. There's life there. He despises not his prisoners. Let the heaven and the earth praise him. the seas and everything that moveth therein. His faithfulness. For God will save Zion. And He will. And will build the cities of Judah. That's David's context. That's what's highest on the list for him. And that and Israel and the tribes and the nation have their place ordained by God. You and I will say the Lord will deliver His church, won't He? He'll deliver His saints. That's the institution that we're part of. One doesn't replace the other. It's just the point of context. That's what Brother David knew was the nation, the place of worship. Well, He will deliver us too. He will deliver us. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah. He saved us and put us in His church, and He will take us out of this wicked world one day, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. We will have our place that the Lord has prepared for us. He told the disciples so, didn't He? He said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place, I'm paraphrasing, so that I can have you right near me. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of His servants shall inherit it, like we saw about the poor. And the meek will inherit the earth. The Father's good pleasure to give the little flock of the Lord His kingdom. The seed also of His servants shall inherit it, and they that love His name shall dwell therein. Brother David, he wrote, he felt, it was the burden of his heart, the release of making his petition before the Lord and the Lord even answering him in the midst of the psalm and helping him with encouragement and laying out these things of, save me, O God, You are my hope and help, vengeance is the Lord's. I will praise the Lord. We are to be a witness. And then a review of the Lord's faithfulness. David. Christ Jesus. The saints. We pray for the unsaved, that they would see these things too as it applies to them. And then there's that final place of the wicked that will be judged by the Lord. Oh, may the Lord help us that we see what that the Lord would open our eyes and our hearts to what each and every one of us needs. For you that are not saved, that you would see Christ and your sin and your great need before Him and repent and believe and trust in Him. And that we as the Lord's children would see what our Lord's understand more about what our Lord Jesus has done for us and how we need to go to Him with the detail of the burden of our heart, and that we need to look to Him, rest in Him, trust in Him, and rejoice in Him, knowing that He is faithful in every way.